Imagine sleeping in the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's iconic sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee plus 15% off your first order with code Odyssey. So head to B-O-L-L and branch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Back for another exciting edition of Six Rings and Football Things. We are heading into week 5 in the National Football League. I'm Andy Hart, joined by Chris Scheimtime Scheim and Nick Fitzy Stevens to talk about the Patriots' moral victory in Green Bay, which unfortunately was also a loss that dropped them not only to 1-3 in the 1-3 on the year, but also last place in the division behind Fitzy's favorite draft weekend team, the New York Football Jets and Zach Wilson. Guys, we've had a couple days to let things kind of percolate. And I know one of the things, as I mentioned, that's, controversial at this point with the Patriots, 2 years into moral victory Mondays, which may now become moral victory weeks. Do we take what happened in Green Bay with Bailey Zappe coming in the first quarter for Brian Hoyer and then taking Aaron Rodgers to overtime and everything that went into it? Jack Jones pick six, exciting plays on both sides of the ball. Do we take that as a moral victory, a step forward, or, and I'll start with Chris here as I lead him into this, is this just a football team that's not very good and we're trying to make mountains out of positive molehills?
So I think there were positives to take away from this game. I am not a fan of moral victory Mondays. It's not how I roll. A loss is a loss. A win is a win. It's very simple. It's black and white. Keep it that way. But I do think there are some positives to take away from this game. I think especially on offense, I give, and this hurts me to do this because I've called this man a boob many, many times. I think Matt Patricia deserves a little bit of credit. It was a pretty good game plan. It's, okay, the run game's working. I'm not going to outsmart myself. I'm not going to try and, you know, do something crazy. I'm just going to run the football, especially with a first-year quarterback from the fourth round of the draft who had never taken an NFL snap yet. So overall, I think he deserves a little bit of credit for that. And I think the run game was awesome. Harrison Stevenson looked great. That offensive line, when it comes to running the football, they're great. Pass protection, not so much, but running the football, Marcus Cannon still got it, man. That guy can motor and run block. And I think that offensive line looked good in that form. And I think, you know, there's fewer positives, I think, to take away from the defense, but overall, I'm not into moral victories, but I do think there's positives.
So 15, I think when you talk about it post game, that Bill Belichick in the past has pointed to losses and then later said, I learned something about my team that day on that field. And certainly Lambeau Field, and we mentioned Bailey Zappe did something nobody in the history of that stadium has ever done, made his NFL debut and threw a touchdown pass. So that's a unique environment.
Played quarterback with the last name Zappe.
That's probably also accurate.
And a first name. I swear to God, I love every, Andy, I love everything about this kid. And I think, you know, I'm actually at a point where I think we almost need to walk back Bailey Zappe love and Bailey Zappe praise and Bailey Zappe fever, only just because while it's massively impressive that he did go 10 for 15, 99 yards, he did play like a rookie fourth rounder. He did miss a lot.
Wait, did you say it was massively impressive that he threw for 99 yards in 3+ quarters of action? Because it wasn't actually.
No, it was massively impressive that he was able to do that, given that the kid never took a snap under center at Western Kentucky at a Division II school, that he was able to play under the pressure of being thrust into action As part of the New England Patriots' David to the Aaron Rodgers Goliath on Sunday. They were 10-point underdogs. But, like, going crazy about Bailey Zappe right now, saying, like, new second coming, Bailey Zappe fever. All the memes you've seen now, like, the boyfriend's looking over the shoulder of the girl is Mac Jones, Bailey Zappe is the hot girl walking away down the alley. Like, everyone's got Bailey Zappe fever. Let's just sort of, like, pump the brakes on it a tiny bit. And just remind ourselves that, like, they're going to probably keep for however many starts Bailey Zappe ends up having to make while Hoyer's in the protocol and hopefully not starting anytime soon. I don't think anyone wants to see Hoyer make another start this season. And Mac Jones is healing up, that he's going to continue to play in game manager mode. Let's see him learn the pro offense. Let's see him grow a little bit into the Pat system. And here's my biggest hope, that the Patriots offense, the thing that we complained about primarily right after the game on the Six Rings postgame show that I've heard made it be made a big deal for the last couple of days, is that they didn't throw a pass on second and five from the Green Bay 46 in overtime, that they didn't go for it, that they played it so conservatively. So Andy Scheim, my big thing is, yes, I feel good about this. It is moral victory Monday. Now it's, well, shit, it was still a loss Tuesday, but I think we feel good about ourselves going forward. Tomorrow's going to be who the hell is playing quarterback Sunday on Wednesday. And all week long, we're going to try to divine little positives. This team is going to rally around what just happened. There's going to be good moral victories. And I think they're going to buy in on this together as a team. I think this is the beginning of a little bit of a run, and I'm here for it.
Yeah, you said pump the brakes, and then apparently your brakes went out and you started rolling downhill. I'm not really
willing.
Pump
the brakes on Bailey Zappe fever, not the team. Well, I think the team is going to
If you're going to start a run, it's going to start with Bailey Zappe, because I'll be surprised if we see anybody else other than Bailey Zappe at quarterback on Sunday against the Lions at Gillette Stadium. My biggest takeaway would be the same takeaway I've had for a couple weeks now. The Patriots offense should start with two people. It's not a quarterback. It's not a receiver. It's not a tight end. It's Ramondre Stevenson and Damian Harris. They are your offense. You need to ride those horses for as long as they can stay healthy. And by the way, if you can pull off what you've been pulling off, I think they have 53 and 46 carries or something each through four games. If you can continue to do that and have both of them basically be 200 carry running backs, that's the perfect offense, because you don't get up in that weird Derrick Henry, you know, are we going to give this guy 400?
Marco Murray, 300 right. plus. Yeah.
Don't take years off their lives. Yeah, don't take years off their lives. And they're both very capable of doing the job. And then as you mix in with what Scheim said, I think this offensive line absolutely wants to block. For the first time all year, I saw Trent Brown motivated and invested.
Didn't he, like,
in
he
the
like
game.
Waved and was like, yeah, keep running it my
and
way,
he
big
flexed
dog.
Over a pile after a run. Right. Like, that
was
Brown
the tweet.
Is not motivated, and suddenly he's motivated. Feed the ball to the backs and say, see the massive human being over there? Run behind him, because for however long he's into this, we need to ride that man as well.
Bingo.
So what lit the pilot light on the Trent Brown stove, if you will? Like, what got him reengaged? Why did he decide to get back into it? I'm just Scar curious, but I'm excited. Yeah, right, exactly. Scar penned him a love letter that he'll probably read on the Players Journal or something this week. No, man, that left side of the line was dominating the other day. I can't believe, as someone who loves fantasy football offense, aerial shows, and thinks Don Coryell deserves a wing unto himself in the Pro Football Hall of Fame, they get that jumbo package going, I get fired up. That's like, I love, like, that is the definition of smash mouth football. Marcus Cannon, hello to your new position at right tackle. Isaiah Wynn, say hello to your new position of coming in as a sixth or a seventh offensive lineman for a couple of smash and dash plays every other game. Yeah. And Andy, can we also get Kendrick Bourne a little more involved? Can I say that for the 19th time this season?
Do you want to know a weird thing too?
Get, like, him involved.
In his limited snaps, he is in the top 10 of PFF graded receivers this season. And that's he has the same grade as Mike Evans. I think that was prior to last night's game. So Evans probably went up a little bit, having 8 catches for over 100 yards and 2 touchdowns. But regardless, in his limited snaps, like, even PFF's grading him out well. And you can take that for what it will. Not everybody loves PFF. Nothing. Get it. But, like, you, even when it comes to eye test, when he's on the field and he touches the football, yes, something happens. It's good.
And guess who was popping open on the 3rd and 5 play from the Green Bay 46 in overtime, until the defender grabbed his jersey and the world's shittiest refereeing crew missed the call? Kendrick Bourne. That's why he was flipping out. Like, remember, so Bailey throws it and Hunter Henry is not open any longer. And then Andy, it was almost a pick. Right. And we talked about how like, oh, maybe that's why they didn't throw in second five, because the kid got, you know, got zappy feet and got a little flustered there. Kendrick Bourne was coming open wide right, and the defender grabbed his jersey and literally tore a piece of his jersey off, and Bourne flipped out. And I wondered afterwards, like a lot of people did, like, was he really mad that he didn't get thrown to? Did something went wrong? Turns out it was defensive holding. It was clear as day. He gets open. The guy can make plays. And if you're going to lean, and the greater point is, if you're going to lean on the ground game going forward, why not get him involved a little bit more as well, because of the fact he is a playmaker. Well,
he did get a jet sweep. Was it in the Packers game or the week before? And he gets 11-yard carry. Like, the guy, just
his ability to play has never been in question.
He does a great job.
His ability to play has never been in question. I mean, we saw it last year. He's a playmaker. He makes plays when he's given opportunities. Now, is there diminishing returns? I'd actually like to find out. I don't think he's ever been given the opportunity to say, you know what, maybe 10 targets is too many for Kendrick Bourne. Like, maybe we need to pump the brakes on Bourne. We've never reached that point, because last year he was essentially a 4 to 5 target guy per game. And this year we know that he's been in the doghouse and all of those things that go with that. But he is part of this. And Fitzy's right. If you're going to run the ball, then when you do throw it a little bit less, you want return on investment. You want some playmaking. And I do think he's their best playmaker. But we do need to get into the ongoing, as we're going to talk about guys that need the ball and the inefficiencies in the passing game. And I know the zappy transition here may alter things, but the fact that Hunter Henry continues to be irrelevant to this offense. And I know Bill Belichick defends these things and goes, oh, each week we can talk about the guy who didn't get the targets and who didn't catch the ball. Well, Bill, it's a month in. We're a full month into the season, and forget about Jonnu Smith. I think we've all kind of given up on that idea, although I believe Jonnu Smith actually has more yards receiving at this point than Hunter Henry does.
Yes, he does.
But, I mean, for an offense that may be trending toward run the ball, play action, make a few plays, really going to need to maximize our opportunities in the red zone, Hunter Henry's disappearance for $12.5 million a year is curious at best and negligence at worst.
T.J. Hawkinson. I landed in the middle. It's startling. Yeah. Oh, T.J. Hawkinson, who had 200 yards receiving.
Two separate catches, just individual catches, that were more yards than Hunter Henry has all season. In one game, he had two separate catches that were more yards than Hunter Henry's had all season.
Everybody take a guess. Everyone, let's just do a little whip around. Why is Hunter Henry not involved?
First of all, they're splitting time because they haven't been doing a lot of two tight ends. So when Jonnu's been healthy, they were kind of going back and forth, which was cutting into it. It's not as many two tight end sets.
That's why they have little Jordan on the field so much, because he's a receiver, but he also blocks like a tight end. So it's like, we disguise it more as a possible pass play, but you can still run the football effectively.
Right. Bill has talked about that. Are we in 11 personnel? Are we in 12 personnel? I'll let you decide. We just have him on the field and we can do what we want out of it. I think some of it is scheme. I think some of it is maybe, you know, teams looking at him a little more. I would definitely focus on him, but I don't have a good answer for it. I don't think he's been targeted enough. I don't think he's productive enough. And I think we had accepted we'd cut the losses on Jonnu Smith, but now we can't accept that both tight ends for $12.5 million don't do anything, don't add anything to the offense. That
we're going on a whole century of the tight end being an absolute hole. I mean, they cut 2 third round picks they made in 2020. Hunter Henry, he had a nice-ish season last year with the 50 catches and the 9 touchdowns. Jonnu Smith was an absolute sieve, and now they've done nothing this year, Andy. Like, this decade, the tight end position has been a pit for the Patriots.
And one of those third round picks you cut, oh, by the way, then played a game for the Cincinnati effing Bengals like 3 weeks later.
Where's Ryan Izzo?
No, we don't need him. I don't care where Ryan Izzo is. He can go away. Okay, so big picture. Before we transition into a little bit second segment talk here of Bailey Zappe and the nature of the quarterback position this week, do we take net positive from Green Bay? Is it something they can build upon? Fitzy, you said earlier you think they might be ready for a run. The Detroit Lions might be better than we originally thought as we open up this soft spot in the schedule. Do you truly believe the 1-3 Patriots, that If I looked across the NFL, I believe in power rankings, most have them somewhere between like 24th and 27th in the National Football League. We do this. We did this last year. Are they better than their 1-3 record?
I think it was Aaron Rodgers who said Sunday night, that's not a 1-3 team.
He's full of crap, and he had just made out with Bill and stuck his tongue in his ear for like 5 minutes.
Yep.
See, it's just I can't say anything without everyone just wanting to jump down my throat. You try to offer just a little bit, an iota of positivity in Pat's Nation.
No, bring it. Bring it. You got it? They're better than 1-3.
I do. I do. And again, I think, and I'm not going to play the whole like this year and that year, whenever they were 1-3 last year and then 2001 and all those other moral victory cards that began rallies. I do buy into the idea that the New England Patriots will play the whole like, take a look at yourself. Look in the mirror. Who do you see? What looks back at you? A team that is a lot better than their record indicates. No, you're not going to be seeing much more of Miles Bryant. If Jalen Mills can make it back on the field, Miles Bryant will revert to special teamer. You'll probably see more of Marcus Jones out there. Maybe you can kick some of the guys to the inside back where they belong at slot and inside corner. This team was resilient enough, I think, in the face of adversity, everyone criticizing them all year, being a 10-point dog on the road. They coached the hell out of that game. The coaching is going to have to remain a significant factor. I mean, yeah, sure, it always is, but they're going to have to coach their asses off the rest of the way, especially with Bailey Zappe there. I think this team responds to the fact that they went toe-to-toe with Green Bay and played 70 meaningful minutes with them, and they win a couple of games and kind of get back up to, if not near, the 500 line, and then we'll feel a lot better about them because, and I know this is segment two talk, we got some keepers from this year's draft, and I'm starting to see some ball players on the Patriots team.
Shime.
No, they're not better than their record indicated. I hate to crap all over Fitzy's positivity parade here, but
no, you don't.
Let's stop it. Stop. They're not better than their record shows. No. They're not even the best 1-3 team out there. And I'm curious to see how next week goes because you're playing the most high-powered offense in football and also the absolute worst defense in football at the exact same time. So next week is going to be interesting because you look at the Green Bay game to me. Did they do a pretty good job of mucking things up? Yeah, I think Belichick did a really good job of mucking things up, making it a slow-paced game. You ran the football very well against a Green Bay defense that cannot stop the run in any way, shape, or form. Then again, neither could you. Aaron Jones probably could have had 200 yards in that game. They didn't give him the ball enough. And Aaron Rodgers looked like dog shit for three quarters of that game. Like, he did not look good. And that
but
was
did
not
he
because
look bad because of the way the Patriots defended him.
Let me finish.
He missed about 10 throws down the field that had nothing to do with anyone other than his right arm.
Constant misses. He made on, I can count on one hand the amount of good throws Aaron Rodgers made in that game. Were they exceptional throws? Yeah, but he made twice as many crap bag throws. Like he was freaking Geno or the 2007 version of Geno Smith, because nowadays Geno Smith might be one of the best quarterbacks in football, all of a sudden completing 77% of his passes. But I digress. This Patriots team is not better than their record indicates. They are where they are. They are who we think they are. Like, they are right here. They're going to compete in a lot of games. They're not going to get blown out. That's exactly what we've said about them all year, but they're not going to win many of those games either.
Yeah, my simple takeaway is in a month into the season, and Bill tells us, you know, this is about the time when you start to realize what kind of team you are, figure out who you are. I think this team has plenty of balls. As Shime just said, they will compete. I do not question their balls or their competitive nature or anything else. I still very much question their talent. I don't know if they're good enough. And that's just the simple reality of their 1-3 record. I believe they're one of nine teams that don't have two wins on the season. And your New England Patriots are down in the bottom quarter of the league. That's going to put a wraps on our review a couple days later as we sort of talk about the loss in Green Bay to the Packers, the moral victory or the simple loss that it was. Six rings and football things. Please subscribe and rate us on your favorite podcast service. Please download the Odyssey app if you would. It's the easiest and best way to listen to us. And if you want to interact with us and talk about the positivity or the negativity, we continue to build the Six Rings community at Six Rings Pod on Twitter or SixRingsPod@gmail.com.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road.
With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.